Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate. This one right here goes out to my homie with the drink. Know what I mean?
He said, I write what I see. Right to make it right, don't like what I be. I'd like to make it like the sights on TV. Quite the great life, so nice and easy. See, now you can still die from that, but it's better than not being alive from straps. Agreed, a meat notebook and a big that clip when it's pushed and a whack ass beat. That's a track that's weak that he got last week, cause everybody in the stew was like, that's that heat. A bass heavy medley with a sample from the 70s with a screwed up hook that went,
stack that cheese.
Something, something, something.
Stack that cheese.
Mother, sister, cousin.
Stack that cheese.
He couldn't think of nothing.
Stack that cheese.
He turns down the beat, writers block MPs. Crying from the next room, a baby in need of some pampers and some food and a place to sleep. That plus a black Cadillac on D's is what keep him on track to be a great MC. Yeah.
One you never heard of, I push it harder for the rhyme. I feel like murder, but just stop, you save me. One you never heard of, I push it harder for the thought. Rhyme, I feel like murder, but just stop, you save me.
Reps Northside, so he rocks them braids. 1,100 friends on his MySpace page. Stack that cheese, got 700 plays. Producer made him take it down, said he had to pay. Open mic champ 2 weeks in a row. XD boy with a B-boy flow. Glow like Leroy, you should see boy go. Got a daddy serving life and a brother on the road. Best homie in the graves, had it up while in the cage. Minute Maid got his mama working like a slave. Down baby mama, who he really had to honor, cause she was his biggest fan. Even let him use a Honda to drive up to Dallas with. To open up for amateurs, let him keep a debit card so we could put gas in it. Told her when he get on, he gon' take her to the gallery and buy everything but the mannequin. You dig, dig, dig.
When you never heard of, I push it harder for the thug. Rhyme, I feel like murder, but just stop, you save me. When you never heard of, I push it harder for the thug. Rhyme, I feel like murder, but just stop, you save me.
This man called, said your time might be now. They played your freestyle over Wipe Me Down. They played it 2 times, said it might be crowned as the best thing out the H-Town in a while. He picked up his son with a great big smile, rapped every single word to the newborn child. Then he put him down and went back to the kitchen and put on another beat and got back to the mission to get his mama out the hood, put her somewhere in the woods, keep his lady looking good, have her rolling like she should. Show his homies it's a way other than that flippin' yay. Bail his homie out of jail, put a lawyer on his case, throw a concert for the school, show the shoulders that is cool. Throw some candy on the cat and chuck the deuce and act a fool. Man, it feels good when it happens like that. 2 days from going back to selling crack. Yes, sir, sir, sir.
When you never heard of, I push it harder for the thug. Rhyme, I feel like murder, but just stop, you save me. When you never heard of, I push it harder for the thug. Rhyme, I feel like murder, but just stop, you save me.
Another edition of Detroit Sports Rap. I am your host, Big C, along with my cohort, L Diggity Dog. What's good with you?
What's up, bro? How you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling excellent, man. It's a great week of sport, man. We got the NCAA tournament out here with giving us all type of upsets and exciting twists. We have the owners' meetings in the NFL to kind of hold us over until the draft. We got the NBA heating up. Our Tigers are kind of winding down in spring training. It's an exciting time out here, man. It's an exciting time out here. I can't complain, man. The weather's kind of broken a little bit, you know, so I can't complain out here, man. How about yourself, man? How you doing today?
I'm living. That's all I can say. Just living.
I'm glad you're doing that, brother. I'm glad you're doing that, man. If you was on the opposite, and I'd really be hurt, brother. I'd really be hurt. Let's get right
in. My man, that's all you hear.
Oh, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
I said, no, my man, that's all you hear. You know, my family hurt. I wasn't living. We good.
Let's get into it.
Let's dive right into it, everybody. You know, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's go. We got an exciting day for you guys today. We're going to talk a little bit of some everything. Like my co-host said earlier today, you know, saying we're ready to get it up and going. So, where you want to begin at, Big C?
Let's talk about our Tigers, man. They're starting to come together a little bit, man. And we see V-Mart and Miguel Cabrera have getting some back-to-back work with the big league teams. They're heating up a little bit. Miguel had a home run the other day. The team is kind of coming together, man. I just wanted to, you know, see if you had, you know, noticed, you know, saying what was going on down there, if you had any observations. We got a couple of weeks before they head up north, man, for opening day. Any concerns, man? Any observations?
No concerns except for my usual. No concerns except for my usual. The bullpen. You know, once again, you know, we got issues with the bullpen. Starting rotation is doing good. Verlander looks okay. They pitched him his last startup. They pitched him, 4 or 5 innings. He gave up 3 hits. So that's something we might want to be aware of right now. He gave up a few runs as well. We got to be real careful of Verlander right now. I understand that, you know, everybody was quick to say he's in decline, but I was blaming last year on the core surgery. He's a year removed from that. So that's just something we want to keep a close eye on. I know we're not going to make a trade to get rid of Verlander, but in the bullpen, because I don't think he's going to be that type of guy. Look deep into the innings, like, you know, deep into the game, like he used to be, like a 9-inning pitcher or 8-inning pitcher. You know, I think we didn't warn him the hell out. So I'm looking at him to be like a 7.5, maybe 8-inning pitcher. I'm hoping, but there's something right there. You know, just keep an eye on right now. Are we there?
Yeah, I'm here. I heard you.
Okay.
He has looked. Okay. I'm not gonna say we worn him the hell out. He has looked okay down there this spring. You know, he's been working on a couple things, changed up his technique, trying to add a couple pitches to his repertoire a little bit. Kind of try to take the stress off that arm, man, because it's hard to throw 100 miles an hour, 60, 70, 80 times a game, man. Especially at, you know,
true.
He's becoming a middle edge kid, huh?
That's it. You're very true about that. You're absolutely right. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to have to try to develop, you know what I'm saying, some other pitches and some control of those other pitches, man, to kind of diversify, you know, your repertoire. But with all that being said, I'm kind of coming to the understanding that, you know, I like Price. He looks like he's definitely going to be solid to good, possibly great. I like Annabelle Sanchez. He's been a solid to good pitcher. And Verlander, we don't know what we're going to get. We can get probably, you know, we can get great. Or we can get, you know, average. I think he's probably going to be a solid to good pitcher. The other two guys are kind of, I think, going to be solid guys with potential to be good. You know, they're unproven. They're still developing a little bit. So there's definitely some inconsistencies in their game. But I'm coming to the realization that this team is probably going to be a better fielding team, a better defensive team, and hopefully a better offensive team. And probably not a dominant rotation, but a good rotation, a solid rotation. And I think we're going to, you know, probably try to win that way. You know, when I look at this team, you know, we talk about the arms and there are some questions, you know, but again, there's no dominant guy. There's no Scherzer out here. There's no Fister, you know, to go along with a Scherzer and a Verlander. You know what I mean? He looked like Murderer's Row a couple years ago, but at the same time,
we
had
took
to
a
play.
Step back, which is really disappointing to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we was always preaching and talking about how good we are on the pitching staff, but we never had nothing to surround that pitching staff. We had Miguel Cabrera, which is excellent, but outside of that, we had nothing. Now, our pitching staff consists of maybe three people, two for show, and maybe a third. And I'm talking about Justin Verlander as a possible. And now we're a better fielding team. Maybe we can move the bases, maybe move the people across the bases and everything else. It's like that consistency. I still think we're going to need some bullpen help. We only have one left-hand pitcher out there. I know it doesn't mean a hill of beans to anybody, with my eyes, you need that right, left, left, right, left, right, left type of rotation, you know what I'm saying? So you can throw somebody at somebody, you know? So, because I don't want to wear, you know, a lefty out, you know what I'm saying? Because especially when you get to the playoff contention, you know what I'm saying? We're going to need somebody, you know, they're going to do that type of scheduling lineup against us, you know?
I think, like you said, you know, we're going to be a better fielding team, hopefully a better offensive team. We're not going to be trying to shut teams down. We hope we're going to get some type of pitching that's going to really be effective like that. But the reality of it is we may not get it. But at the same time, there's other ways to win games. I look up when we had the Murderers Row of pitchers. We only had three or four dangerous hitters, and the rest of our lineup was not consistently making plays. Now, we don't know what this lineup is going to do. So I can't say that, but, you know, just projecting, we're hoping that we get steady production out of V-Mart. We're hoping that we get steady production out of Cabrera. We're hoping that we get steady production out of Ian Kinsler, you know. Cespedes, we're hoping we get consistent, solid production out of him. Now, those are the four guys who are probably going to bring the meat and potatoes to the lineup. And then we're looking at guys like Castellanos to step up. J.D. Martinez to do kind of what he did last year, and he's been looking good down there. And
if he can stay consistent. Right. Now, J.D. Martinez was a surprise to everybody. You know what I'm saying? He was somebody that was left for dead. So if he just be a little consistent, we will be okay with that. You know what I'm saying? J.D. Martinez, like I said, was somebody that, you know, that he actually got cut. So I'm hoping that he can step up and do what he did last year or even improve on it. You know what I'm saying? That means he's been given a better, a bigger opportunity. And, you know, I'm thinking, hey, you know, hey, my man, step it up. I mean, I know it's a lot to ask for, but damn it, let's do it.
I was about to say, it's a lot to ask for. We can get about 85% of what he was doing last year consistently. That'll be decent. But, you know, it's going to come down to Avila, who we know has, you know, has a weak bat. Iglesias, can he add some hitting, you know what I'm saying, and some speed on the bases? If he can hit, he can get on the base and he can, you know, cause havoc. And also Adam Gose or Rossie Davis, whoever's going to play that center field position, those guys are going to have to be on base and be effective. But I'm looking at the team overall, our team's going to get more bats involved, probably so. But the team itself looks a little bit better equipped defensively and from a production side offensively to be a team that can compete. And I think this is more of a team that I think Austin feels comfortable with. You know, he's got a couple guys who he's got to play, but those guys are older guys, so they're not going to mind rest. Coming off injuries, they're not going to mind rest. And he's got some guys he can play small ball with. You know, a lot of times, we weren't getting any type of production from our power hitters. We weren't getting any type of production, run production. Now, you know, we can kind of manufacture runs. I'm eager to see what they do. The bullpen, though, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Nothing
yeah.
good to say about the bullpen. Nathan, I think we should just go on here
and cut break
him. I don't know what's going on, but I think he's lost it. Whatever he has, I don't think he has it anymore.
Yep.
Albert Herkey, I haven't seen much of him. Haven't seen much of Jovan Chamberlain. I haven't seen much of anybody but Nathan consistently giving up hits and runs. They got to get better on that back end. I don't know how.
They got to pick up and do a trade.
I don't know, but they got to do something back there. As far as the other guys, utility infielder Steven Moya and Hernan Perez, and I think it's some real battles going on over for those last roster spots. And, I think we're going to have a decent group of guys, you know, coming off the bench. Roddy Davis is going to be a guy who's going to be in the rotation. And I envision another outfielder is going to get some time to kind of get some of that Don Kelly time. And then I think, you know, because we got Cabrera at first, Iglesias at shortstop, he's coming off those shit splits. You know, they're going to try to rest those guys a little bit, too. I don't think they're going to see 150 games after the start. So if you can get a guy who can be a quality contributor who can give you 30 or 40 games at those positions, those would be quality spots as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it moving, though, man. Yeah. Let's talk about the NFL. You got the NFL meetings, going on owners meeting, let's just say, out in Arizona. And finally, man, Mr. Lawan and Mr. Mayhew, they got way out there in Arizona to address the Ndamukong Suh negotiations and where they went wrong.
Yeah, finally, huh?
In a nutshell, they basically blamed it on fiscal responsibility. Basically, it got to a point where basically they felt they met his demands of being the best, or the highest paid defensive player, which that's what he said he wanted. And then once negotiations went wavering of that, you know, they felt that, you know, they were able to deal with the burden at 102. But anything beyond that, they wouldn't be able to deal with. So they had to, you know, I guess, bow out of the bidding. They wouldn't say exactly.
Before you get started, before you go into any more detail, let me ask you a question. Knowing this, what we just found out, right? Do you think they should have did this deal last year when they had a little bit more leverage, or 2 years ago when they had a little bit more leverage? Oh, and do you think they should have just traded his ass last year, like I said, when we found out that we knew before, right, last year, that he didn't want to mess around with us no more? He was more like, okay, he got rid of his agent, he picked up an agent late. We could have made him the highest paid player last year and saved a lot more money. I think it would have been better if we trade him. And then this year, if they don't do a good job of drafting, do you think somebody need to get the hell up out of that office?
To your point, Sue, you know, anybody who's been listening to the show, and you know, I have been saying pay the man this year, last year. I've been saying pay the man. I've been saying it. You know what I mean? The situation was, you know, the Lions didn't believe that he can get that type of money, man. That's the real deal. They didn't believe it last year. And at this point this year, it just got too late. It got too late. You know, they don't want to say when they offered that money, but it definitely wasn't last year. If it was last year, when they, you know, if they really want to pay him that and they would have offered him that last year, he would still be in line. I believe that in my mind. If you offer him $102 million and make him the highest paid player last year, he's still here. But because they didn't want to pay him that money initially, they didn't want to pay him that money because it was ludicrous. They tabled. People make it seem like it's his fault. They stopped negotiating with him. Basically like, nah, we can't do it. You know? And I think that was what really hurt him. And it came out, you know. First, everyone wanted to say we wanted him, said that, you know, they don't regret anything that happened in negotiations. They feel like, you know, they did everything, you know, correctly. They didn't, you know, want to put the tag on him and put a $27 million, which I agree with. I mean, I can see that. You know, they're thinking it's sound, but the execution is not there. You know, the execution
right.
is not there. Like, you know, even his interview, he said, you know, we don't regret doing anything, but in hindsight, if I could do things differently, I would do a couple things differently. Well,
okay.
If you don't have any regrets,
yeah,
then what would you do? Why would you do things differently? So,
well, no, they could have handled this whole. They could have handled it a little bit different. They could have put us in the door of a loop. They should have had a contingency plan. It doesn't seem like they had a backup plan. That was the biggest problem. I don't think they had a backup plan whatsoever.
Well, to be honest with you, looking at it, I think they had a backup plan. It wasn't what we thought it was going to be. You know,
right.
We're going to make this move for soon. You know. If it happens, okay, it happens. Then we got to deal with, you know, the salary cap ramifications of his deal. Plus Calvin coming up, we got to do, you know, the same thing with Calvin. You know, so there's some.
I'm still going
to go. There's going to have to be some type of restructuring going on. So I think what it was that, okay, if we can't get sued, then we're going to just basically try to get right with our salary cap. We're going to do what we can to replace him, to get out for a year, possibly more. He's not 31 years old. And we're gonna, you know, try to get DeAndre Levy extended, restructure or redo Calvin Johnson's contract to get out of trouble. And you know, basically put themselves in position to kind of start again from the salary cap. Now, is that going to result in wins? I don't know. I really don't know. With them only having 5 draft picks this year, and with them not doing much, you know, and free agency's not over. You know, after June 1st, there'll be some cuts made. Some guys will probably come available. Maybe they'll have some money by then. Maybe they'll make some cuts of their own. And they'll be able to go get somebody, but we'll have to see.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the Lions are doing right now, okay, this is being realistically speaking, they just want to win 8 games this year. You know why they want to win 8 games, Carl? I'm going to tell you why they want to win 8 games. They want to win 8 games just to keep fans pacified, to say, okay, all the cap room and everything else comes off the table for next year. That's all they bet. Games, and we some big-ass fools, the fools that we are as fans, to tolerate this shit that they put out there, the product, you know. If they win 8 games, well, okay, we can sit there, we can tolerate them, you know what I'm saying, with those 8 games. Now we can support this team again. All the money come off the cap space and everything else. Now let's build. Now it's going to be our dominant year. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're banking on. They're banking on the fans, us, to be ignorant as all hell to how to run a football team because it's been ran so shitty for so long. Excuse the phrase, but I got to keep it real. And then with that, After we pacified, they're hoping next year they have a bounce back here. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on right now. They're begging us being ignorant football fans for 1 year and just accept any product they put out there and then go from.
I think that they want to win more than 8 games. I think they're going
to.
They want to win more than eight games.
Every management owner want to win 8 games, but they're only set up, honestly, the way they're looking right now, is to go 4-5-11, 4-12. You know what I'm saying? They do not address or attempt to touch the offensive line, and then they're telling us that our left tackle can all of a sudden play right tackle, or we can put his ass at guard without even addressing the guard situation. I mean, it's like, what the hell? We saw the whole left side of our line was shitty as hell last year. Okay, you make an adjustment in free agency. I want the guy from San Francisco. We didn't get him. Now, they let him go somewhere. I want the guy from Atlanta. The other guard. That's 2 quality left guards we could have had. That's Maulers. The guard on Wolford, our right guard, that's what beat. That's a Mauler as well. Athletic, everything that we want. We could have solidified the middle because now we got real Rayola soft ass. You know what I'm saying? We got a legitimate center. But I'm just going to say this right here. This is the year that your boy is supposed to come into his own. Stafford's supposed to be a beast this year. Now they can fall back and say, well, we didn't address the line. We didn't do this. So there's another excuse to give him, to buy him one more year. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it is. The Lions right now is becoming a pitiful organization, ran and led and done everything by excuses. You know what I'm saying? And I'm tired of the excuses as a fan right now. I'm pissed off that they wanted to wait before they got rid of Sue after everybody had to re-sign up the ticket deal. It should have been, if you don't sign all your free agents right now, then you don't have to do the mandatory sign of a ticket deal. That's what really pissed me off, is right now they ain't played us for a fool again. They knew, they told you right then and there, they were not contenders with him. They knew they were done with him even before he even went to Miami. You know, they were done with that. They knew they wasn't going to top Miami's offer, anybody else offer coming over $100 million. They topped out around $90-something million, maybe to $102, just to sound good for them. And then they said he walked away. Now, I guarantee you, if this news would have broke that he was leaving after the ticket sales was due, I'm going to tell you right there, nobody would have resigned. No, you know what I'm saying? We would have had a blackout out the wazoo because now the blackout policy has been lifted. You know what I'm saying? We can watch the games at home. The city doesn't have to sell out no more. You know what I'm saying? So, that's another thing this organization's done to piss on the fans once again. And that's what you got. You got an organization that keeps consistently defecating on us, and we're sitting there just bathing in it like it's okay, instead of us doing a fight back. We did one fight back. We got the worst owner, general manager in history of the NFL fired after they gave a 5-year extension for being crappy. You see what I'm saying? It's like they don't want to put their list under a chance. You had a chance to get a couple of questionable players, I understand that, but damn it, this organization needs to win. You could have got Hardy. Hardy went to the Cowboys. You know what I'm saying? We needed him. You could have got with the DB from New England. He ended up signing with Cleveland. We needed him. You know what I'm saying? It's people that we need. And they want to try to keep this pure reputation. And I think that's the only reason I got rid of Sue, because he was too much of a villain. You know what I'm saying? My dude, we need to win. This is the only organization that hasn't been to the Super Bowl. Outside of the Browns.
Well,
so my thing is, it's really, it's getting...
I'm gonna be honest with you. I feel your frustration, but it's not over yet, man. It's not over yet. I'm not saying they're gonna get great players. I'm not saying they're gonna get, you know, outstanding players. I don't know who's gonna be left. You know, I don't know what's gonna happen. But at the same time, we know that the NFL is a cyclical league. They did make the playoffs last year, so whether we like it or not. Making the playoffs last year almost, unless they totally bomb out. And I'm going to tell you, a 5-11, 6-10 team will probably have Mayhew looking for another job. But like you said, an 8-8, 9-7, coming off the playoffs, you know, does buy him another year. But with that being said, he cannot whiff on two more draft class in a row. He also, must, find lightning in the bottle. And to your point, I wouldn't be totally surprised if they say, you know what, we're gonna go all offense in this draft. I wouldn't be surprised if they draft two offensive linemen and a running back, and possibly somebody else offensively to say, you know what, we're going all in with Stafford, and we're gonna try to protect him, and we're gonna try to take care of him. Or if they, wide receiver somehow, in the draft, in a position that we probably didn't think that they would go, like a second round or something. I mean, it doesn't surprise me anymore with these guys, looking at it. They're still in contact from what we hear. I didn't say negotiations, but contact with Justin Blaylock, the guy from Atlanta, because he's still out here. They still are talking to Rob Sims. Trying to, get to a good number with him, or in contact, I would say. I won't say in negotiations, but in contact with Rob Sims. So, the draft is going to be key, man. And they got 5 picks as of now. And I know you like to say, they should trade and do this and that. I have no confidence that these guys really know fully what they're doing, man, because they haven't proven to me. So, with that being said, I don't know what they might do. But low key, when you say what the plan is probably somehow to get lucky, possibly with one of these running backs. I think that they're prime
Did you check out the draft early or
Melvin Gordon and try to give this offense lightning in the bottle with the DeMarco Murray type lift to the offense and to carry the team a little bit, which could possibly happen because it did carry the team to the playoffs a couple years ago. And I think the defense that they have now, even without Sue, is going to be better than that defense was years ago. So, with that being said, I mean, there's a possibility they might throw it on Stafford, and it is time for him to put up a shutout, no doubt about it. There's no question about it. It is time for him to put up and or shut up. I'm with you on that point. He has weapons. He has a first receiver. He has a secondary receiver. We've invested in a tight end. Hasn't produced. And I'm going to tell you something. I know people don't like Pettigrew or whatever. But don't forget, Pettigrew has been a 70 reception receiver in this league, a 60 reception receiver in this league. So don't sleep on him either. If this other guy ain't getting
the
done, put Pettigrew in there and let him see what he can do.
Hey, I
feel you 100%. So, they're possibly looking for lightning in the bottle of one of these running backs. I'm going to tell you, I'm thinking more and more they're going to probably draft one in the first round. Yeah, a lot of lines.
I think they're going to draft the running back, too.
There's some possibility in the first two rounds. I think so, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. The way I was hoping the draft would go, they did a mock draft. Tom said in the mock draft, and it linked up with what I said before with you guys. We talked about it. They had him taking the first pick. They had him being able to get the tackle out of Texas, the defensive tackle out of Texas. That would be a great, you know, mm-hmm. sad pick right there, your first round pick. Coming back, getting that running back out of Indiana. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I want. I keep telling you guys that. I want that out. That would be the best draft they've had in about whatever amount of years. Because you'd have solidified two positions with your first two picks, two quality players that you know can play, that is, you know, no questionable injuries or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, it's your third pick, you get you a guard or a tackle. Fourth and fifth, we out of there. Or and you can package that two of the seven-round picks to somebody like New England to trade up there to get you a fourth or a fifth-round pick. You do that, so that way you can get you the best tackle or, you know what I'm saying, there. And then you try to get you, like you said, it was going to be some cuts. So hopefully we can get a nice defensive back in free agency, because after the first couple of picks out of the defensive backs, you're done, honestly. You know what I'm saying? That you want to invest in, but you know how the Lions are. So, like I said, you can probably get you one of these cats to get cut on a practice, you know, not on a practice, but, you know, the casually cap, you know what I'm saying, anything else, start romancing them cats now, that's on a bubble, get you one of those guys that's quality that can come and play the nickel, you know what I'm saying, because you need depth at that defensive back position, because we showing that we get hurt every year, two people always getting hurt in the defensive backfield for us, you know what I'm saying, so we might have a hell of a lot of talent with your starters, but your second and your third ain't shit, and we need to make sure those guys that ain't shit is going to be some shit. And that's how it's gonna be now. We saw that in the Dallas game. You know what I'm saying? If we just took care of the money there, our nickelback would be a lot better.
Looking at some prospects that they might grab, man. I got defensive tackles, man. They got Malcolm Brown, man, out of Texas. Alex Armstead out of cornerbacks, Trey Waynes out of Michigan State. Collins out
He's
of Kevin Johnson out of I can't remember the school right now. Offensive line is a center out of Florida State. Cameron Irving can play center guard or tackle. Lyle Collins out of LSU can play tackle or right tackle or guard. Eric Flowers is looking like a right or left tackle out of Miami, Florida. Andres Pete looking like a left tackle out of Stanford. The running backs, like you said, Gordon, Gurley, Kevin Coleman, Amir Abdullah, I'm not really sold on him. The Duke Johnson kid, I know Pook likes him.
No.
I'm not really sold on him either. Some guys, like you said, who may be able to help us later in later rounds, not in the later rounds, but in the second and third round. We got five picks. We got a first, a second, a third, a sixth, and a seventh, I believe, or two sevenths.
Two sevenths.
A first, second, third, don't have a fourth or fifth, so we have six picks.
So I'm hoping that we can trade back up. So I'll say trade two of those picks in the seventh round, try to jump to the fourth round, or even to the fifth round. You know what I'm saying? A team like New England that has no problem willing and dealing and trading down, by all means, let's go ahead and trade with them to get back up in the fourth round. You know what I'm saying? A team that loves to trade.
Some guys who may be second or third round picks can help with Tevin Coleman out of Indiana, Lincoln Tomlinson, offensive guard out of Duke, Jake Fisher, offensive tackle out of Oregon, Carl Davis, a defensive tackle out of Iowa. There's a couple guys who may help us, you know what I'm saying? Possibly down the road, man.
Right.
Keeping it moving, man. Your boys, man, Michigan State kicked off their spring practice. A couple of positional mistakes. Lawrence Thomas, who played defensive tackle for them last year, is now playing defensive end opposite Jalee Calhoun. A couple good position battles going on at the cornerback spot. Darian Hicks and Fonte Copeland are listed as co-starters at the cornerback spot. A lot of competition up there, man. A lot of things going on at Michigan State. Some changes going on at the running back spot. So there's going to be some competition there. How you see your boys, man?
Yeah, especially when other kids get there. I don't see Michigan State losing the beat. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep it real. Cook is there. He gets him a better year. I mean, another year of being better. Offensive line is still going to be intact. I'm going to tell you like this. The running back position is a key position. Like I said, you have a lot of depth at that position right now. They've been doing a hell of a lot of recruiting. The defense, like I said, you only miss a few, you won't miss a beat. I'm looking at Michigan State to repeat where they were, or even, I'm not going to say, get rid of, beat Ohio State, but damn it, they should be right there on that stand. This should be a hell of a better of a game. The teams, they learned their lesson. They went DB heavy in recruiting this year, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of speed and height this year. That's what they went after. So they got DBs to cover those receivers that, you know, that can burn you for these teams when they play against, because they still play Oregon this year. They play Oregon at home this year. So I think this year, you know what I'm saying, you're going to see a difference, a change up on defense, even though the defensive coordinator is gone, you know what I'm saying. But don't trip, you know, Dan Sullivan, he still has his blueprint, his fingerprint on the defense, you know what I'm saying. You're going to see a lot of pressure, a lot of leaving receivers, corners and DBs one-on-one out there, so he has the depth to do it now. I see them making a statement. I see them beating Oregon at home this year. You know what I'm saying? I see them going deep and putting up I see him being a dominant team this year. But it all depends on Cook. It all depends on what he does. When he's playing at a high level, we look good. When he on some other crap, we got a problem. When his footwork is out there and everything else, we got a problem. Offensive line got better. I mean, they did a hell of a job recruiting. They just got better. They just took a blueprint out of, like, old Michigan, old, you know, Ohio State and everything else. They took a blueprint out of there, and they perfected it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who emerges at that running back spot. And also those quarterback spots. That defense is kind of retooling a little bit. There's an open position at the middle linebacker position. Redshirt freshman is battling Riley Buller, you know, one of the Buller brothers. So those guys are battling for that spot. Like I said, there's going to be some battling for the spots for the cornerback position and also the safety positions out there. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be interesting. You look at Michigan, who's also in their spring training or spring practice, have been for a little bit. There's some couple things going on with those guys. We had tackle Mason Cole, who was, you know, a freshman All-Big Ten performer at left tackle for him last year, has been getting snaps at center. Jack Miller, a fifth-year senior who was slated to be a fifth-year senior, stepped away from football this year due to reported to ESPN due to concussion concerns. He had, suffered, I think, one in high school and a couple in college, and, you know, he worried about his future. Understand he's a bright young graduate student with possibly a political career, one of all his faculties, so he stepped away. Graham Glasgow, who played some games at center and guard last year, right now is suspended indefinitely from the team. Mason Cole to take a few snaps in there at the center position. We finally heard a little bit of word. It hasn't really been a lot of action out of there on who's, you know, really, really you know, doing something in practices or not. But we're hearing that the one receiver, Amaro Darbo, is turning some heads with his catching ability. 6'2", 218 pounds, a big physical receiver out there doing this thing. They have a spring game. They are going to have a spring game. Not going to be a scrimmage. It's going to be an actual game where they're going to actually hold a draft. And that's going to be, I think, coming up in the next week or two. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. I'll probably be on BTN. Check your local networks for that game and see what's really, really going on with the Wolverines. I've been in probably a month or so. I've had 3 or 4 weeks of coverage, so I'm going to be having their game as well. I think it's going to be eager, man, to get this rivalry started, I guess, for both these dynamic coaches with some solid teams. I still think Michigan has some talent there. I think they're going to be coached up a little bit. I don't think it's going to be evened out right away. But I think it's going to be some interesting games, definitely some interesting plus lines from these two coaches, man. But I'm looking forward to it. The recruiting battles have already begun. Some great recruits going to Michigan State, some great recruits going to Michigan.
both these teams, man, have raised really their national profile in terms of recruiting, man. I think we're going to really see some exciting football. We're starting to see some guys from Florida, Texas, California, some of those areas where you see a lot of speed emphasized, man. So I'm looking forward, man, to what the football squads hold. I'm just a nugget, man. One of the key
positions. Hey, Carl, this is one thing you're going to see, Carl. Carl, this year, you're going to see a hell of a quarterback play at Michigan this year. You're going to see that quarterback play excel, exceed beyond anything you've seen in the last, quote me on this, in the last 7 years. Maybe it was 8 years, he's 4 years senior, he's a 4 years senior. The last 8 years, the quarterback play, and it's 1 year, is going to excel anything you've seen at Michigan in the last 8 years. I'm going to guarantee
you know,
that right then and there.
I think you're going hard, but you can't forget, man. Denard Robinson was here, man, and regardless if you like what he did or not, any of those guys are going to be up to par. But I'm going to tell you what, I had an interesting conversation with a gentleman at my job, man, who's 50 years old, solid football guy. But he has it in his mind that Jim Harbaugh to run a pro style offense, which you know I have no problem with. But my issue is with this guy was saying is that what he feels is the prototype quarterback to run it is a 6'4", 6'5", 245 guy with a rifle of an arm. And I told him, you know, that's cool, that's fine. I understand in your day that's what it was. But at the same time, you know, the physicality of players has changed totally. And to your point, I do expect some good football play. But like I told you, I showed you some tape of this guy who's coming in, a freshman. He's not there yet. Zach Gentry, 6'6", 240 pounds, but he runs a 4.6, and he has that 80-yard touchdown run. Harbaugh has a way of kind of looking at him when he was a player. He ran a pro-style offense. All that good stuff. But he also had a looseness, and he could run the football a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He drafted Colin Kaepernick. So he's going to have
And he threw Colin Kaepernick into the fire fast as hell. You ain't never know somebody lose that position to an injury, but he put him up in there as fast as a hurricane.
Put him in there. Put him right in there. And when he went to San Diego, he had a quarterback, Josh Johnson, who went on to play in the NFL. He's in the backup, who's about 6'1", maybe 6'2". I think he's 6'1", about 200 pounds. Decent arm, pretty accurate guy, but had pretty good feet. So he's kind of always kept a guy who has pretty good feet. So before everyone just gets to saying that, Morris, the big arm guy, from De La Salle a couple years ago, is going to be the guy, or Wilson Spate, the big guy from Pennsylvania, 6'6", 250, is going to be the guy. Brings me to my next point, and I'm glad you brought it up about the quarterback. From what I'm hearing, and there's very little been getting out, but from what I'm hearing is that 6'2", 200-pound, true freshman, Alex Malzahn from Brother Rice, who's been committed for 2 years, and who's up there early, is very, very, very much in the mix for the quarterback spot there. Very,
mm-hmm.
very, very much in the mix. So, you know, before everyone gets to talking about 6'5", 225, 230, Morris, or 6'6", 240, Spate, watch for this guy. Also watch for Zach Gentry is his name, the 6'6". Yeah, he's 6'6", he's 235, 240, but he runs a 4.6. Had 280-yard
mm-hmm.
touchdown ratings last year. So watch these
guys.
6'6",
240 is a monster. That's a monster in the NFL, cuz. That's looking at Ben Roethlisberger type guy. You know what I'm saying? Brian Leftwich type of guy back in the day. You talking about a beast
right.
of a man that can run. You know what I'm saying? Now, this is what you're talking about now. Teams are going to be, you know, they have to respect, you know what I'm saying, the passes. He's going to have a pinpoint accurate pass. See, that's the one thing that Michigan didn't have the last 8 years. You know what I'm saying? Denard, yeah, he was a good guy. You know, I like him. I respect him. He's doing good with Jacksonville. You know what I'm saying? He's a running back now. But he wasn't accurate. He couldn't get that thread, that needle on a consistent basis. He'll bust up on you, but he couldn't. Yeah. As a quarterback, I'd rather a quarterback actually scramble to create a passing lane than to scramble just to bust the hell up and take a hit. And that was the problem with both of those quarterbacks right there in Michigan. They were very electrifying when they were busting the runs up, but then they were getting their ass broken up real bad. A la Michigan State, Major Man, you know, not even want to play quarterback no more. You know what I'm saying? So once that was out on him, like I said, I'd rather you scramble to pass and hit an accurate pass deep across the middle, the out route, you know what I'm saying, the crossing route. And then if all that's done, bust up and get your ass down. Don't be none of them running quarterback, but bust and get your ass, or be able to have that size to lower the shoulder to give a little something back to the people that's out there. You know what I'm saying? Because all this boy going to do is he's going to chirp and put a little bit more weight. You know, so you're looking at a monster that makes it as a freshman.
I don't want my quarterback taking too many shots at all. Even though if he's a running quarterback, okay, I understand. But even then, I don't want to take a check.
That's what I'm saying. So you really don't, like I said, that's what I'm saying. He can get his ass down to the point of, okay, I didn't do everything I needed to do. Let me get down. I didn't extend this play as much as I can. I can't go deep with the pass and like that or the out route. I'm going to get my fire. I'm going to get down. These other cats, they wasn't doing that. They thought they had to bust up, try to shake somebody, you know, do another move, jump to the outside and all that shit. And they was getting their ass handed to them. See, so now what's going to happen, like I said, this is going to be a disciplined play. You know what I'm saying? It's 1, 2, 3, check. I'll go 5 yards, get down. Live like, or throw it away, live to see another day. There's nothing wrong with an incomplete unless it's 35 and you're throwing that shit at his shoestring. A la Stafford. But outside of that, though, you know what I'm saying? Hey, that's what Michigan needs. And they need a hell of a running back to rely on. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
they need that reliable running back. That's Tim DiBiase Patuka. Hey, that's Tyron Wheatley. You know what I'm saying? They need that type of guy as well.
Well, it'll be nice if that type of guy emerges. I don't think you totally need that. I think you need an effective running game, whether it's one guy or whether it's by committee.
They were at their best when they had one running back. They were at their best when they had the one.
Well, if you don't have one like that, you have to do something else with it.
I understand that, but look at Michigan when they're successful. Look at them when they've been successful. The last real running back that's been there that made them that much of a monster or a threat is when they had the little mighty midget there. You know what I'm saying? He was the reason why Michigan State is as good as they are now because he ran his damn mouth. Thank you, Hart. You know what I'm saying? You opened your mouth. Boy, did they throw that shit down your throat. You know what I'm saying? Michigan fans probably going to tell you shut up if you go back there. But that was the last time Michigan was really a consistent, successful team. Consistently successful when they had a feature back. Even when they went to, when he first got there, they had like a 10-win season. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't consistent because they had a reliable running game. I think Michigan is going to build something, and that's going to be this year. I'm telling you that right now. Michigan fans, I'm telling you right now, don't be sitting there, oh, yeah, we're going to win the Big Ten. We're going to go. No. No. Okay? You guys going to get 9 wins out you, maybe 10, you know what I'm saying, if you know what I'm saying, if everything else jail. But be happy for these 9 wins.
That's very generous. Very generous of you. I think, you know, 7, maybe 8.
Well, my 9 wins, you know what I'm saying, like I said, hopefully one of them 9 wins is in a bowl game or to get them into the respectful bowl game. But my thing is, the Big Ten, I want them to win their bowl games in the major bowl games like they did last year. They won all 3 major bowl games. Hell, five now, because you got to say the national championship game too. Well, 3, 4, you know what I'm saying? All of them won their bowl games respectably, even if it was a couple behind like Michigan State did, or, you know, how Wisconsin did, you know what I'm saying? They dominated. They came up there and they whooped that ass. And that's what makes the Big Ten. They said it on ESPN lately. It was like, hey, out of the postseason, Michigan State, I mean, not Michigan State, but the Big Ten did a great job representing this year. They beat all the top contenders. So that's what you want. Give this conference some respectability, you know, accountability. You know what I'm saying? Let them know that they're dying in conference. So we got to make sure we just not a flash in the pan conference. That like we can't do that shit one time and that's it. Let's keep doing it over and over again.
Hey, man. I know you definitely do want to hear them boys do it. I mean, see them boys do it again one more time in the bowl season. I do, too. I do, too. We'll see how it goes. I can't really give you an accurate view of who's going to be nice and who's not. I know Michigan State's going to be nice. I know Ohio State's going to be nice. Basically, both of those teams may be national players. I don't really know. I don't know really what's out here in the Big Ten.
Like Wisconsin, too much with turnover.
I don't know.
Wisconsin's a turnover. Nebraska's a turnover. Michigan should
know.
Be on the doorsteps.
On the doorstep. We don't even know who our starting quarterback's going to be.
They have
who is it going to be?
Believe me, Harbaugh has. Oh, my leg hurt. Harbaugh knows who his quarterback is going to be already. He has people transferring in right now. Believe me, he going to have it right.
We think the guy transferring is going to be the starter?
Why would you transfer?
Which one are you talking about? One guy can't play this year. The guy who's already there, he can't play this year.
He can't play at all?
No. He's sitting out. The other guy who's a fifth-year senior can play. If he decides to play this year, he can.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Well, I'm looking like this.
I really think it's going to be one of the two freshmen. I really do.
You think so?
I really do. I think that they have.
They have a combination of
size and athleticism that he looks for in that position. They're all going to be starting from ground zero because they're all learning a new offense. It's not like he's bringing the same stuff. So it's not like really someone has a great leg up on them.
But that 50th senior has a little bit more composure, though.
Well, he's not even there yet. That's what I'm saying. He's not even there yet. We don't know what he's going to do. And if he comes, he won't be able to play until the summer. These guys have already been here in the spring. Not Zach Zinter. He isn't there yet. But I think he has the most, to me, he has the most ability. He's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But this young guy, Malzone, is a really great fan out here. So, you got to watch him, too.
So, I'm looking at our Big Ten Conference, right? We got Ohio State. Okay, cool. We got Michigan State. Cool. We know those two teams are going to be national players are going to dominate. Wisconsin's taking a step back. Nebraska's definitely took a step back. Michigan is just taking a step up. Rutgers is a team I told you about when they came into the Big Ten. I said, you know what? They're out there in the East. But I told you, Rutgers might be a team that you might have to pay attention to. It's a team that I thought was going to come in, and they did a great job of doing what they did when they got here. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Rutgers is another team I think is going to be a potential major player. And outside of that, you're actually right, though. I don't know what Penn State's going to do because then they just lose their head coach. You know what I'm saying? They just lost their head. But they became bowl eligible now, and they got their Sanchez lifted off of them, and then their head coach bolted on them. So Northwestern's always a roundaway team. Iowa is staying off. Indiana lost their running back. Illinois, I don't know. Minnesota let me down the bowl game. You're absolutely right, though. I would see about three, maybe. Hopefully Wisconsin bounce back to be a contender.
Penn State is a team that's supposed to take another step. Penn State is going to put together two top 15 recruiting classes. They got Metzenberger, who's a three-year starter now at the quarterback spot. You know, the new coach in his is going to be his second year. They're going to be expected to take that step up into a contender, possibly a national player. But I don't know, man. Is Minnesota for real? Are they going to be able to maintain what they did last year? Rutgers.
I'll think that because they lost their running back. And they lost a running back, a tight end, and a couple of offensive linemen for Minnesota. So I don't think any couple of those wins was kind of lucky.
Look at Wisconsin. They have a solid team coming back. It's just about with the new coach, what they're going to do there. You look at
some turnover.
Maryland, you don't know if they're going to be able to take that next step or not. Rutgers, like you said, I mean, it's going to be a solid team. Looks like they're going to be a bowl team. But are they going to be able to take that next step? I don't know. It's you know, this is where we find out if they can consistently be one of those top programs, man, top conferences. You know, seeing where you want them to be. We got to take a look at it. Let's talk a little bit about this.
I think Rutgers came in. To prove a point. 8-5 this year, bowl game. I think Rutgers is going to be that team, man, that's going to take the next step in Big Ten football. You know what I'm saying? They came in kind of scared and left everything with nothing to hide. And you got to think, because they came to the Big Ten Conference, their recruiting is going to step up a whole lot more, too. I didn't get a chance to look and see what they picked up this year. But I guarantee you, Rutgers is a team that always scares me because it reminds me a lot of how Michigan used to be. They got that power team, you know, that wear you out defense, I mean offense. And you know what I'm saying? They beat up on your defense. Rutgers is a team that I like, man. You know, so let's make that step up this year.
Okay. Let's talk about, man, the tournament a little bit, man. Let's talk about this first weekend that went down. There was a number of upsets, man. Brackets were thrown away everywhere. Some of the teams that got popped
yeah,
out. Virginia to the Michigan State Board. Villanova, one of my Final Four teams, got destroyed. A couple of other teams, man. Let me see.
Dayton. That's the team I was hoping would have beat Oklahoma because Dayton is small. Oklahoma is tall.
Providence got popped. Kansas took an L to Wichita State in the second round. So no one saw that. Very eventful week one. Like I said, Michigan State rolled two victories. Kudos to Izzo, another solid year for him. Maybe one of his best coaching years. I've been saying that all year. His team has really, really got better and offended. Point where now they're right there in the Sweet 16, and I'm looking at their bracket. They got Oklahoma, and I think it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a shootout. I mean, but you know, there is a possibility for them to, you know, go to the Final Four. Definitely.
Yeah, they do look like they can make it to. They can make it to the Final Four right now, which is amazing to me. I mean, nobody saw them getting past. Was it Virginia? After they got past Virginia, it was like, whoa, they everything opened up for them. It was like, wait a minute, them cats might be out. They might be having made. They might have a small, I want to say cakewalk, but damn it, that's what it looked like. You know what I'm saying? Once they play that type of style of, you know what I'm saying, of basketball. So, big ups to State. I'm going to tell the people right now, they got that game coming on late as hell, 10 o'clock at night. It pisses me off. Oh, that's a tip-off time, 10:30. I mean, real talk. Why would you do that? It's against Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a couple of long people that had to come back against the Dayton team that, you know, shot them out the gym earlier. So I think Michigan State is going to have to do an excellent job of rebounding, posting up, making themselves have a second chance on the shot. But hey, that's a positive as well. Let's go.
Some of the other cats who got popped, Iowa State, Baylor, Oklahoma State. Some major upsets in here, man. Major upsets out here. SMU. My bracket looking terrible out here. But anyway, let's Michigan State, man. They play Oklahoma. They say the game is late. Oklahoma is going to be able to get up and down. How do you see that game going, man?
You said the Michigan State game?
Yeah.
I can't hear it. Okay, yeah. You know, Izzo's about adjustment. Izzo said after the game they won against Virginia, he asked him to do something different, like double jump. I don't know what he said. I'm not gonna quote him per se what he said. They say he's asking to take a different approach to this game. I think right now, like you said, Izzo's doing one of, if not the best coaching job I have seen him do. I was complaining to him. I was on his head earlier. I talked about him, you know what I'm saying, dogged him. Now I can't do nothing but give him as much praise as a man can actually give somebody in a respectable level at their trait, okay? It's going to be a game of adjustment. I think they're going to actually try to, you know, press the issue, go at Oklahoma, put him in foul trouble early, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, the best thing to do when you got some lanky teams is keep attacking. The more you attack, you know, foul trouble to get some big guys off the court, they can go lights out. They have to be effective from the free throw line, from the charity stripe. And that's the most important thing with them. If they're effective from the charity stripe, hey, man, we win this game going away. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, they can't have a hiccup. They can't have any mind parts. They have to be strong down the stretch. Normally, this team right here starts off good, and then down the stretch, they start to fade. They have to be strong down the stretch. They have to close out a game. It can be no mental hiccups, no my bads out there. You know what I'm saying? We can't leave nothing to chance. Because after this, I think they will go to the Final Four after this. If you know what I'm saying, if they do their thing here.
Well, looks like they will be playing the winner of Louisville and North Carolina State. Don't know much about North Carolina State. They beat Villanova. Louisville, solid defensive team, one of the best defensive teams in the nation. Very well coached by Rick Pitino. They want to get after you. Have had problems scoring. And a team that, you know, could possibly be overcome. So I'm not going to say it's a cakewalk at all. I mean, it's a rough thing. But when you look at Villanova and the year that they had, and they were supposed to be possibly still in it at this point, at this juncture, you say, wow. When you look at Virginia and how well they played and Michigan State beating them, you say, okay, well, you know, Michigan State is playing pretty good. One of our listeners, our regular listeners, Brittany, says she had State, Arizona, Kentucky, and Duke going to the Final Four. Her bracket's still looking very, very good. I wish I would have had her fourth. I wish we would have
had her. Get out of here. No, she didn't.
She said she had, man.
Tell her no, she didn't. So she's doing better than like 87% of
In the top percentile right now, in the 90th percentile right now. I don't know what her other picks look like, but you know those are pretty good, man, so far. So big ups to her, kudos to her.
I thought you were going to copy that in.
So the capital. I wish we should have had them dated, man. We should have had them dated, man. You know they could have printed one out. Mm-hmm. Got to put it together.
Yeah. So that's impossible. I don't think nobody's seen that.
She's pretty astute, man.
Like I said, she did big ups to her, man. Not to take nothing away from her, nothing at all. She did a good job. I'm proud of her. You know what I'm saying? That's a hell of a foresight to have. If that's the case, if that's the case, tell her. I need her to take me to the casino with her, because you know what I'm saying? We're going to start doing some betting. I got no problem. You know what I'm saying? Gambling on these games right now.
Who did you have in your Final Four?
I'm done. I have, you know, Kentucky, you know, Duke, but outside of that, I'm straight.
Okay. I had Kentucky, I had Arizona, I had Duke, and I had Villanova. I should have known Villanova wasn't going to make it because they just always lose early, but I haven't
watched much.
I haven't watched much of basketball, so I didn't know, and I heard this supposed to be one of their better teams. But with that being said, I would have never picked State to go to the Final Four. I was just not impressed with them like that this year, but they have mentally just really mailed it as a team. And, they got guts. They got toughness. They're getting timely scoring. They're getting solid guard play from Trice. Willie Forbes is stepping up, giving them some shooting. So, I mean, they're getting it done, man. But it's not a cakewalk. I think these next games are going to be for the home. You know, North Carolina State or Louisville is going to be a real battle. I look forward to those games.
I'm gonna tell you, man. I'm gonna come back before we get off the air and see and tell you about who I like in that Michigan Oklahoma gang. They're still very, 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 very close. But there are some other intriguing gangs going on out here this weekend. I'm sorry, starting tomorrow. Can Wisconsin keep the road going for the Big Ten, man, and beat North Carolina? Wisconsin's showing me a lot, man, it's the last couple years. Man, they're a really tough team out there. Bo Ryan has got those guys ready to play. Frank the Tank is a true player. He's not a manufactured persona out here. I mean, he's the real deal. He gets it done inside, outside, week in, week out, game in, game out. They know kind of what he's going to do, but they just can't stop it. So can they keep it going against a tough North Carolina team?
Absolutely. I mean, that's all I can put it. Absolutely. I see Wisconsin being one of those teams that, you know, saying surprise. Now, I didn't even say surprise because they had Wisconsin, a team that could contend of beating Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? They said, well, a team that could beat Kentucky, it was like Duke, Notre Dame, Wisconsin. I think it was Arizona. You know what I'm saying? Somebody that was, somebody else that got popped. You know what I'm saying? It was like four or five teams that might have a chance of beating them. And right now, yeah, Wisconsin is a team that is playing, you know what I'm saying? They play their low key style of basketball. You don't hear no much about them. You know what I'm saying? And they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? I got nothing else to say about it. Wisconsin team, I think they can be can dominate and do their thing.
Okay. What about this UCLA Gonzaga game? UCLA, a team that everybody said did not belong in the NCAA tournament. They caught all the grief for being almost the last team in. They beat SMU on a controversial play by 1 point and then came out and blew out UAB, who was a winner over Iowa State in the first round by 1 point. I'm sorry, UCLA blew them out by 17. UAB beat Iowa State by 1 point. Now they find themselves against the second seed, Gonzaga. How you see that one going?
Gonzaga going to blow UCLA the hell out the water. That's the only way to put it. Gonzaga is not going to leave another chance. Gonzaga is 34-2. UCLA is 22-13. Number two versus number 11. Gonzaga ain't playing no games. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to let everybody know they dare. They belong. They're going to win by 10. You know what I'm saying? If not 10 or more points. You know what I'm saying? You know, so I'm telling you right now, 12-3 against the spread right now over the last 15 games. But I'm telling you right now, they're going to win by 10. And I don't see them leaving nothing on chance because they see how UCLA won that last controversial call. They ain't about to leave another chance. They're about to go out there and try to run a score up. So, nah.
Let me ask you this, man. It's another game I want to talk about real quick. It's Notre Dame-Wichita State game. We saw Wichita State,
mm-hmm.
I mean, wear down Kansas and end up just pouring it on, winning by 13 over Kansas, man. A team that refused, like, I won't say refused, but up to this point has not played them in the regular season, and despite being within the same state as them. So, big win for them, big win for Wichita State. I picked that on my bracket. That's probably my best pick so far this week, I mean this year. So, big ups there. Do they have a shot to knock off Notre Dame?
No, Notre Dame got a point guard that's working it out right now. Notre Dame is a team that, you know, luck of the Irish and all that good crap. No, but I'm telling you right now, Wichita State, I don't see them beating Notre Dame. It'd be a shocker if they do. I see Notre Dame has a chance. They spread the floor. They have great point guard play, good rebounding. They're good from the outside. They're rebounding right now. This is a team that's kind of lanky, that does everything. Like I told you, had a chance to actually beat Kentucky. This is one of the teams that, you know what I'm saying, I see them being very well coached, no hiccups. They're prepared. I don't see Notre Dame, you know what I'm saying, letting up at all. I see these next few games in the tournament, you know, the Sweet 16 that we in, the teams that are supposed to be dominant are going to dominate, and they're going to sit there and put their foot on their throat. There won't be no second half comebacks, you know what I'm saying? They'll be sit there and they do their thing.
Okay. So with all that being said, man, I don't want to break the whole field down, but we down to 16 teams. You said that there's a couple teams that can beat Wisconsin, that can beat Kentucky.
One is West Virginia. I ain't gonna hold you up. One of them teams I say that can beat them is a West Virginia team. West Virginia is long, they lanky. Oh yeah, don't sleep on West Virginia now. the Mountaineers. They can get it done. West Virginia's that type of team that I think that, you know, I've seen them play a couple of games. And the Mountaineers, you know what I'm saying, they're not a type of team that's just going to sit back and see a lot of teams, you know what I'm saying, I've seen Kentucky struggle and win barely against a couple of teams and shit. They didn't blow everybody out. You know what I'm saying? People that don't sit back and be shell-shocked and be like, okay, well, Kentucky will come and dominate on us, those are teams that get their ass beat. West Virginia, I think, is going to bring it to them. They're going to play physical. This is what I say. Physical basketball. They got a great stroke from the outside. They're going to come in. They'll play. They'll rough housing. They will bang them down low. Even though Kentucky got some man on cat, you know what I'm saying, from the center and a forward position, power forward position, I'm going to tell you right now, they will put a hack and shack. They will bring it to him. And I'm saying, West Virginia, don't be surprised. West Virginia, you know, is there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I said, what's one of the teams that can't put any more run for their money? They're not there by accident.
Okay. All right. Well, with that being said, are you taking Kentucky or are you taking the field in terms of, you know, the championship? You got 15 other teams out here. Kentucky's still the odds-on favorite. You say West Virginia's the team that can take them out. I look at
Notre Dame right after that.
Yep. Well, if they win, possibly. I think possibly Notre Dame can take them out. Wisconsin can take them out. I think Arizona can take them out. But the bad thing with those guys, if they both can make it to the Elite Eight, they'll have to play each other. So one of those teams will be knocked out. I think Duke can take them out, but Duke's has got to, you know, deal with Utah first and possibly Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to toss it again.
Michigan State, looking at their bracket, Michigan State has a chance, honestly, to be there. Honestly, to
They have a chance to possibly be there, but I don't think they beat. I mean, I don't think they beat Duke
or Gonzaga.
I don't know enough about Gonzaga. I don't think they beat Duke. I can say that. I don't know about Gonzaga.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I've seen Duke play North Carolina twice. They shut that damn game down your throat, just like how they used to shove Miami.
They'll be playing them in the final. It'll be in the Final Four. I don't think they beat Duke though.
I don't know, because Gonzaga is a team that I think might be able to pop Duke.
Oh, okay. We'll see. So you're taking Kentucky at the field, man?
I'm looking at the field now. Yeah, West Virginia, Notre Dame, Wichita State, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Xavier, Arizona, North Carolina State, Louisville, Oklahoma, Michigan State, Duke, Utah, UCLA, Gonzaga. The hell of a field to take. You know what I'm saying? Kentucky's still a beast, though. I don't want to sound like no damn fool and just say the rest of the field is going to do that. So for right now, you know what I'm saying, I'm just going to say Kentucky. You know, I got to give credit where credit is due. Kentucky is a dominant team. But you got some teams in here that can give a run for money. But I've seen Kentucky come back and win some fluke ones. If they get popped, don't be surprised. Tell them like it is. But I think Kentucky can win this tournament.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Kentucky too, man. I will say this. Arizona can beat them, but it will have to be in a Final Four game. And I think if you give Calipari a week to prepare, he's going to be good. I think Duke, if they play them, they'll be playing them in the finals, which would be 2 days after the semifinals. So I will give the edge there possibly to Duke being able to really knock them off in a two-day prep situation. I think Mike Krzyzewski is pretty good at getting his team prepped and ready. And with 2 days to go, I would like his chances against Calipari and those boys. Wisconsin, I think, will give them a situation, a problem. But again, with a week to prepare, and let's remember, Wisconsin is doing all this great basketball, and they're playing without their starting point guard, Trayvon Jackson, who's been out. I don't think he'll be back for these games. So
be tough for them to beat them. I'm gonna tell you, the Notre Dame is a unique game. Because Notre Dame would catch them on a 2-day back to back. Mike Bray, pretty solid coach. Got a good team, good size. They get up and down. It'll be really about can they stand up to Kentucky, and can they really, really stay with them? Can they stamina wise? You know, Kentucky has a pretty talented team, but I won't say it's overly talented. They have great depth, pretty good players. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not great, maybe not outstanding, but they have 10 solid, very good players. 10 guys who are going to probably be NBA draft picks, somewhere, you know, lottery to maybe second round, but they're all going to be pros. And they wear on you guys. They're the wear on teams, man. They just come at you in waves. They eventually wear on you. But in a tight game with some guys who can step up to play 40 minutes with them, I'm going to be interesting. But I'm still going to take the field right now. I'm sorry, I'm going to take them right now versus the field and see how it goes. But another Dame game and possibly Duke in that championship game with the two-day turnaround is our key games. Definitely watch for those. Definitely, definitely. Been back to Michigan State, Oklahoma, man. Now, I have Oklahoma going to the next round of my bracket, man. And I'm real torn here because I don't know if I should go with my feelings or go with my bracket, man. I think it's going to come down to really how Trice plays and how Dawson plays. When they can get good play, I mean, Valentine is their rock. Everything kind of starts with him. When they get solid play from him,
Is your bracket been wrong so far?
You say what now?
Has your bracket been wrong so far with Michigan State?
With Michigan State?
Yeah, is your bracket been wrong so far?
Well, it's been wrong so far. I have Michigan State losing.
Leave it the way it is then. If you say you're torn between, go with your feelings. Man, screw your feelings. Go with what you write. Go with what you have before. We're going to keep the mojo going. So, yeah, no.
Okay, whatever you thought. I had Oklahoma winning, so you say whatever, keep it moving. Okay.
Yep, the way you had Oklahoma winning.
I'm gonna tell you, like Oklahoma's team. I like Lon Kruger as a coach. I mean, this guy's gotten 5 schools, in tournaments, maybe even more. I think 5. He's got a tournament win. I think at 5 schools. They're well coached. Got solid depth. They got some size. They can shoot it a little bit. And they get after you defensively. So I think it's going to be a kind of an up-and-down game. Interesting to see how, you know, Michigan State, you know, deals with them. Where's the game at, man?
Hold on. Should you know it's somewhere off west, east, because, you know, they got them playing at 10 o'clock at night. So what bracket is that?
Let me see.
They over there with North Carolina State playing Louisville, Oklahoma playing Michigan State. So I'm thinking it's got to be over. It wouldn't be nowhere over here. It's got to be
We'll find out where it is. But
wait a minute. Stop. It's at the Syracuse Dome. Why they got them playing at 10 o'clock at night at the Syracuse Dome? Now that's really pissing me off. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That makes no more sense than anything else. They got people playing at 7 o'clock, 7:47, 7:37, 9:45, 7:15. We the only one playing at 9:45, and we the only one playing late, and we in New York. Man, stop it. Why they got them playing so late? That makes no
sense. Game start at 7, game start at 9, man. I mean, you know, hey, that's just how it is. But, I'm going to leave my paper as it is, man. I don't know, man. I don't know, man. Go State, but I think Oklahoma's going to win. Can I do that? Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. There you go. That was perfectly fine with me.
Let's talk briefly, man, about what we talked about earlier with the young man from Michigan quitting football his 5th year. We had Chris Borland. Sign off from football this year for the 49ers, pay back his money to the 49ers.
You know, I'm a fan and a coach along with you. I just watched a wonderful another season of this Friday Night Tykes on Esquire. These guys are physical. These guys are hitting in practice. Do you think, man, that there is some validity to the concerns that of this head trauma? Do you think you can be kind of coached in a different way to kind of avoid
nope.
some of these issues?
Nope.
You don't think so? I'm
going to tell you what football – no, let me tell you what the NFL just did. The NFL has opened the Pandora's box to slowly have a demise. I say this because of this. If there was head issues before, prior to, you keep it in-house. Not saying that I know it's a hell of a thing to say, especially me being a former player myself. You know what I'm saying? That had a lot of concussions. Y'all joke about that all the time with me. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is this. You could have took care of the situation and everything else a long time ago. You should have took care of the vets a long time ago. You should have took care of everything else a long time ago when you had the chance of doing it being discreet. You know what I'm saying? Well, everything being publicized. Now, through your arrogance and your unwillingness to be a team player, as a full team player to your veterans and everybody else, it's about to be your demise. People are retiring. They're going to be retiring, just like you said. The influx of people putting their kids in and PAL League and everything else is going to slowly demise. So we're getting to the point now, and because they're trying to protect everybody else, the NFL is becoming a watered-down league. The product is getting to the point where we don't want – it's going to be the point we're not going to spend the top dollars. Things are going to change. And it's slowly but surely slitting their artery and letting that blood flow of everything, of the revenue, everything else. It's going to start – this is the beginning of their demise, all because of their arrogance. You know, they want to do rule changes and everything else. They show a clip of what's my man, Carl Lynch, John Lynch. John Lynch has been retired for how many years? 6-7 years now?
Mm-hmm. Probably longer than that.
They had him on NFL. Yeah, okay, longer than that. Every single one of his hits that he did back then that we ooh and aw and love is illegal now. That's a damn shame. Back then, as soon as the receiver catch the ball, it would be clean.
Well, hold on,
man. Yes, it is. That's what's going on now. You got to the point that now this league is a shadow of what it used to be back in the day. It's a squirt of piss from what we used to watch as kids, and now it's just an ass wipe away of being some bullshit. I'm sorry, we got to call like it is because everybody wants to protect. They want to make a rule for somebody that's making so much money. A Terrell Owens rule. Now they ain't in blackball the boy. The horse call, they ain't give a damn about that rule no more. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady rule about the knees. You can't even play no more. You get to a point that the defensive back are putting and they put in a successful position because now they got to wait for the guy to take the ball and try to turn. No, that's not football. But because of this, I'm telling you, it's going to make this league watered down.
Let me, because you're going on a tangent. I want to make sure you're going on a tangent for the right thing. Well, I don't want to make sure. I'm just trying to figure out what you're talking about. So I hear you going on the test. We're talking about severe head trauma possibility. And you're talking about mm-hmm. football ain't football no more. Damn the possible head trauma or damn the debilitating facts that these folks are killing themselves, committing suicide in some aspects. I.e. Julius Seau, I.e. Dave Durson, and other folks are suffering tremendous memory loss, and I mean are incurring a tremendous amount of medical bills trying to deal with some of these problems. So, are you saying that I don't know. The ruggedness of the game is more important than the debilitating effects of the game? Is that what you're saying?
No, this is not what I'm saying. But let me say something to you. You know what you're getting into. Okay, here you go. Somebody drinks so much, whatever. They know what kind of state of mind they're in when they get into that car to drive. They get pulled over, that's their ass, right? Same thing with football, man. You know what you get into when you play football. You know you could possibly become
right now,
paralyzed.
The information that was given to folks before was skewed, and they didn't talk about this stuff. Now it's coming to light. Okay. We're in the information age where people can find out more information about it. Now it's coming to the point where they're saying, okay, well, it can be, there are some possible negative effects down the road from this game. So I won't say that everyone knows.
You playing football. Football is a gladiator sport. Okay? That's like playing boxing. Boxing has a lot of head trauma and everything else. So if you want to soften boxing up, you know what I'm saying? Are they going to start wearing head guards and stuff like that? No, they're going to let them boys scrap and do their thing. That's part of the game. To play football is to know that your life is on the line all the time. Okay? Sport makes billions of dollars every year. Billions, with a B. Well over 60, well over 7, maybe 100 billion a year in everything. So when you play the sport making the billions of dollars that you make as the NFL, as a collective whole, they have to understand that people that play the sport is going to have to take risks. That's part of the game. If you don't want to play the game and make this money, you can retire like my man did from San Francisco. You know what I'm saying?
As a parent, we only got a couple of minutes. So I'm going to give you 40 seconds answer. As a parent of a son, would you allow your son to play football full contact at what age?
I'm looking at him. I mean, I would let him test it out. I can't just say age right now. If the LJ want to get out there this summer and test it and he feels like he's okay with it, you know what I'm saying, I'll let him get a feel for it. If he doesn't feel like he's doing it, no. But I think is this. I'd rather him play in high school when it further show you the correct way of doing it. Because not longer days like when we're 8 years old and play. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather have my son do it now in high school when the helmets are better, you know what I'm saying, everything is like concussion proof, concussion certified and everything else now. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather my son do that. But concussion, it protects the blow of the head now a little bit better. So that's what I prefer now out of my son. If he wants to play, yeah, I'll be right there with him. But I'm gonna be more hands on. I'm not gonna type of be the parent that's gonna sit there and say, okay, coach, take him, and that's it. I gotta be there with him.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know, man. I'm thinking, man, maybe I still want him to get involved with the game a little bit earlier, but I know like Christopher was out there early. 5 or 6 years old, and I don't know if he burned down the game early or what, but I don't know if I'm putting my I'm gonna have my kid probably in some type of flag activity or something, maybe for 5, 6, or 7, and maybe test him out at 8 or 9. Optimally, probably look upon to put him out there like 10 or 11, so he can get a couple years in before high school. And then see how it goes. I definitely think that you definitely need to look at it. I definitely think that coaching up on the proper technique needs to take place at a younger age, because we do have people who are involved in the game at a younger age. I definitely think we need to definitely keep making advances in equipment and things. And we may have to tweak a couple rules, but, you know, it is what it is, because people are getting hurt from this, and these contracts aren't guaranteed. It's a lot of different money going on with it. My suggestion would be to guarantee the money. That may lessen the money, but guarantee it to where, hey, if you do have it, you do get it, you know, it's yours. But I doubt that with people retiring like this, I doubt that money is going to ever be guaranteed at this point, because I think that's the ultimate negative effect that may have. But we've come to the end of the show. Thank you guys for listening in. Check us out next Tuesday. We're going back to our Tuesday. 7:30 to 9 o'clock. Remember, if you have if you don't have a passion for anything else, have a passion for life, the passion for sports. From my homeboy L Diggity Dog, I am your host Big C. We're gonna get on off of here. I'm gonna give you some of this game, man. Some of this game, some of this beanie, heavy artillery. Yeah, I'm taking it back a little bit. I'm popping.
You know we got him. 45 machine gun. Got them grenades on your ass, nigga. Black Wall Street. I'm in that bulletproof Maybach, nigga. Teflon Don, SK. Nigga talking like a G, but walking like a broad. I pull up at the light. Pineapple in your cup, nigga. eyes shatter lies. My music camouflage. My core killers at the center of my center dog. Torture and extortion till I'm Fortune 500. From them porches to the Porsches with the wives on it. For you snitches, bitches, better put your lives on it. Get your twisted body found with them wives on it. I get my money, smoke extensive like it's Friday. I'm sitting sideways like I'm in my driveway. My shit pancakes, my shit three wheels. You niggas 6 feet, we getting three meals. Motherfucker won't budge for no judge, real nigga. I hold no grudge with no thugs. Come through spraying bullets out the McLaren. They ain't meant for you, so move, bitch. You hard of hearing? I speed off doing 90 with the Carter blaring. Bust shots in the Cavalier like I ball with Baron. Yeah, I Blake Griff niggas. Make stiff niggas. Eminem wasn't Dr. Dre's only sick nigga. Insane in the membrane like soul assassins. 12 gauge stop a nigga heart like a bowl of aspirin. I hold automatics, let your man hold the casket. Murder game cold as aspirin. Body found in the trash bin. First 48, they don't find me. Case closed like a rehabilitation spot. And Bobby Brown knows. Take them back to Boys in the Hood when I pull a pump out. Something like C-Murder on Wall Star when I dump out. What?